Gray Horse was uneasy. The two riders with him were champing at the bit more than their mounts, eager to get into the copse and hunt down the four targets.
Come on, man! Ethan told us we could have a crack at the fuckers. So why are we still here? Why don't we go in after them?
He has a point, you know. We paid Ethan a lot for this, and it hasn't been everything that was promised. In fact, I'd say it's been nothing that was promised.
Gray Horse could feel his patience stretch to the limit.
Look, those are good fighters. I know those woods. If we take horses in there, then they have the advantage of speed and space, and they'll chill you before you have a chance to draw breath. If we wait until they come out, then we have the advantage over open ground. They can't stay in there forever.
How do you know they won't just sit it out?
Gray Horse shot the Baron a glance that was undisguised venom.
Because we've got their friends hostage back in Pleasantville, and they'll want them back. Why go in and risk a chilling when they'll be coming out? So why don't you just shut the fuck up and wait?
You impudent bastard! I'll report what you said to Ethan. You're not supposed to talk to us in that way.
I'll talk how I fucking like. Out here, you don't mean shit. My job is to keep you alive, and if the least that takes is harsh language, then you're fucking lucky.
And you can shut up as well, you fat fool! What have you contributed to this little campaign beyond hot air and your vacuous views?
You fuck-witted redneck freak! You talk to me like that, and it won't be the fuckers in there that I'll be hunting!
The snarling trader drew a Glock and weaved it toward the woods before pointing it at the Baron. Gray Horse winced. This was the last thing he wanted. Just when they were supposed to be on triple red to cover any flight by the trapped prey, the hunters were squabbling among themselves and maybe even killing each other.
That's enough! We've got more important things to do than fight among ourselves, okay? We need to keep calm.
The fat trader glowered at the sec chief as he lowered the Glock.
Yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't start things by being so fucking mouthy in the first place.
Yes, you should remember who you are.
That was the moment for Jack to strike. The albino had been silently watching them argue, waiting for the exact moment when, for that fraction of a second, they were all distracted and all at rest. Jack stayed in cover and from his concealed position pulled two of his razor-honed leaf-bladed throwing knives. Balancing one in each palm, he took aim and loosed the first, which flew straight and true to the left eye of the inbred Baron. The momentum of the knife carried the point up into his brain and shut down all his motor functions. He didn't even feel himself fall sideways from his mount, a piece of dead meat before he even hit the grass of the plain. The second knife followed in less than the blink of an eye. It was headed for the fat trader, and in that briefest of moments, he turned slightly toward where his instincts told him the knife thrower sat. He didn't even have enough time to raise the Glock before the knife hit him in the side of the neck. He lost his balance and toppled backward, falling from his mount and catching his foot in the stirrup, ending upside down on the turf, with his lifeblood erupting from the suddenly ruptured artery. His horse panicked at the sudden fall of its rider and rose up on its back legs before hitting the turf at a gallop, heading north and dragging the trader behind it. It would have hurt like hell if the fat man had still been alive, but the gouts of blood sprang from the neck wound and leaving a showered trail of rusty red on the dry grassland were testimony to the fact that he was beyond caring. The foliage was devastated by the heavy caliber blaster fire, but that was all. Before the second knife had hit its target, Jack had already begun to move away from his position and move to his left. Jack wasn't pleased that Gray Horse had had time to fire. The point of using knives had been to keep the attack silent so that it didn't attract the attention of the riders on the far side of the copse. He wanted them to stay in position for the other companions. That was blown now, and he could only hope that the shots hadn't preempted their attacks. But if silence was no longer important, Jack wouldn't have to stick to knives. Gray Horse was beginning to spur his mount to move toward the area where he had fired and was angling the steed to use it as cover, slipping from the saddle so that he was shielded by its body. Jack cursed to himself again. If he had moved the other way, Gray Horse's tactics would have been futile, and he just would have presented Jack with an open target. Unfortunately for the teen, he was slipping out of view. It would have to be one shot, and it would have to be good. Jack smoothly slipped the Colt Python into his palm. It would have to be a headshot, the most difficult of all. As Gray Horse began to sink behind the body of the galloping animal, Jack squeezed the trigger. The dreadlocked sec man flew backward, away from the galloping animal, which now set off in a new direction, completely freaked by the noise and the spray of warm blood, bone, and brain tissue that had splattered over it. Gray Horse was dead before he even fell halfway to the ground. Jack kept the Colt Python in his hand and turned to where he could hear the sounds of combat from the other side of the copse. His task here was complete. It was now time to check out if his friends needed help. While Jack had taken the side with only three riders, Ryan, Christy, and Doc had opted to take on Ethan, Riley, and the four paying hunters. Ryan had a particular score to settle with the blonde sec man, and although he was the consummate warrior and would never allow his feelings to overcome his sense of strategy in combat, Ryan would enjoy paying this debt. From their wreck, the one-eyed man knew that Riley and his two hunters were at the northern end of the copse, while Ethan had taken his riders to the south. He sent Christy and Doc to deal with the Pleasantville Baron and his charges. There was only one stipulation.
I don't care if you chill those cold-eyed bastards with him, but I want Ethan alive. Blow the bastard's arms off to stop him shooting if necessary, but don't kill him. We'll need him if we're to have any chance of getting JB and Mildred back. That's why I want two of you to take them out. Try to separate him from the others.
Doc and Christy nodded. In the heat of combat, it wouldn't be an easy task to stick to, but both knew the importance of keeping the Baron in the game. He was their ticket to getting their friends back. As they left Ryan and set off for their target, they knew they would have to be more vigilant than ever in a combat situation. Ryan, on the other hand, had no such compunction. All he had to do was eliminate the threat that the three horsemen represented, and he was going to enjoy it. He was able to move swiftly through the forest and kept noise to a minimum, which was easy as the bracken was cushioned by the grasses and leaves beneath the trees. Ryan pulled up short of the border, keeping in deep cover about 100 yards from where the three horsemen kept an agitated watch. He could hear them talking among themselves, talking when they should have been listening. He carefully unslung the stire from his shoulder, opting for sharpshooting from cover.
What the fuck are we doing hanging around here when we should be out for those assholes' blood?
Yeah, we paid for some action and we should be seeing it.
Look, guys, I know you're the customers and all that shit, but you don't know what these woods are like. On foot, they've got the advantage.
Then why don't we go on foot?
I don't know. I just do what Ethan says, okay?
The truth was that Ethan knew the companions would easily take out the hunters if it came to a battle on the ground. It was just that the sec man couldn't admit this to the hunters for fear of offending them. Ryan sighted on the Baron first. The blonde sec man was set apart from the Baron and the traitor, and the one-eyed man had opted to snipe those two first, leaving his preferred target until last. It was then that the one-shot blast of the Glock came from the far side of the copse.
What the fuck?
Riley jerked his horse in the direction of the sound. The reactions of the other two riders weren't as sharp. Ryan squeezed off the first shot from the stire and caught the Baron full in the chest, throwing him backward off his mount. Beside him, the traitor was frozen in shock, slack-jawed as he watched his erstwhile companion fall backward to the ground. This inability to react sealed his fate. It took Ryan less than a blink of his single eye to shift the stire the few inches to sight the traitor. He was side-on, gawping at the falling Baron, and he presented a slightly more difficult target to chill with one shot. If Ryan tried a body hit, then the man's arm and shoulder would take the brunt of the blast, and so lessen the chances of a clean chill. It had to be a headshot. Ryan had to be quick, clean, and accurate. The traitor stiffened as the shell penetrated the side of his head, taking him under the ear and by the cheekbone, drilling a neat hole that emerged on the other side. He stiffened only momentarily before slumping down over the neck of his mount, falling sideways and underneath the suddenly frightened animal.
Motherfucker! Is that you, you one-eyed freak?
Riley wheeled his panicking horse in a circle, trying to bring it under control as it responded to his nervous twitches with some confusion. He could hear the firefight from across the copse and could see the two men chilled in front of him, but he had no idea of where the fire had come from and was anxiously scanning the darkened woods, searching for a sign. One shot from the stire took the horse out from under the sec man, and Riley hit the ground with a bone-jarring thud, just about managing to throw himself clear of the chilled horse. Riley came up with a Glock in his hands, scanning the forest and arcing the barrel of the blaster so that he could get a wide spray of fire if he had the slightest indication of movement. The adrenaline was running through his veins, and he suddenly felt quite alert. For all the good it did him. As he stood there, Ryan picked one knee as a target and put a shell through it. Riley's leg gave way beneath him, and he tumbled forward, the Glock falling from fingers nerveless with a sudden agony that shot through him. Ryan broke cover and ran toward the sec man. Riley swore as he saw the wanted man trot into the open, the stire held across his chest as he jogged toward the prone sec man. Riley tried to reach for the Glock, but Ryan leveled the stire and put a shell through the blonde sec man's arm. Riley looked up to see Ryan standing over him. Revenge didn't feel as sweet as Ryan thought it would. It felt like nothing, actually. Besides, there were more important matters to attend to. Ryan turned to see Jack headed out of the cops.
Okay?
Ryan nodded.
Let's get others.